And I have enjoyed the song service. Amen. Enjoyed the presence of God here already tonight. We thank the Lord for His goodness. I know this is a familiar text that I'm going to read, so I'm not going to read all of the story tonight because you're familiar with this story. It's the feeding of the 5,000, and no doubt you've heard a lot of preaching on it as well. But I just want to look at just a certain portion of this story tonight and give you what the Lord impressed upon my heart. If you're able to stand in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And then I want us to notice here in verse number 8. John chapter 6 and verse number 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for the singing. Thank you for your presence tonight, for the opportunity to give in the offering. We thank you for those that were baptized this afternoon. Lord, you've just been good to us today, and we want to praise you. We want to thank you for your goodness in our life. And I pray now, Lord, that you would give us liberty these next few moments to say exactly what you've laid upon our heart to preach tonight. And Lord, may you get the glory, may you get the honor, and help us now, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want us to focus for just a few moments out of verse number 9 here, where Andrew makes this statement as he says, There is a lad here. When we think about this story, we have to think about this lad that is in this text. And if you're a Bible reader and if you've heard any preaching any length of time, you've heard much preaching about Jesus and this lad and the lunch that he gives to the Lord. And I want to say tonight that this story here, when we consider it, is a very familiar story. What I mean by that is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all give account of this story here. And so it is a familiar story. And then I would say it's a fascinating story. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you read it, it seems to always get your attention how that Jesus could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed over 5,000 people. That's just men besides the women and the children. There was 5,000 men. And so it is a fascinating story, but then it is also a fitting story. And what I mean by that is that this story seems to fit every aspect of life. Just by example, I would say that this story, it would be applicable to miracles. Amen. For it is a miracle, and it proves that if Jesus could do a miracle then thank God Jesus can do a miracle right now. Amen. And so it's applicable to miracles. Then it's also applicable to missions. When you think about that tonight, it's a great text that could be used for missions. Amen. This boy gave, and because he gave, others were fed and others were helped. And certainly there's a great story, a message about missions and even ministry. But when we come to this text, we cannot overlook the fact that in this text here, what Andrew says is more than just truth in the text. But this young man, he became the tool that Christ used to feed this great multitude. Amen. And I want us to think about this boy for a few moments tonight, because I would say first of all that he is a simple boy. As Andrew says in verse number 9, he said, there is a lad here. Now, there's nothing special about this boy. His name is not given. We don't know who his parents are. The Bible just calls him a lad, and a lad would be somewhere around the age of 12 years of age, give or take just a little bit. But he's just a simple boy. I want to say tonight, God uses simple people. Amen. You might be here tonight and say, well, there's nothing special about me. Well, in reality, there's nothing special about any of us tonight outside the grace of God. Amen. But God uses those who are just simple. Amen. And so I would say not only is he a simple boy, but he is a silent boy in this text. For it's interesting how that the Lord Jesus uses him. And obviously he had some conversation with Christ. I mean, he gave gave him his five loaves and two fishes, and we know that Christ did not just take them unwillingly. So this boy was obviously willing to give, and there must have been some kind of conversation. If not between him and Jesus, it would have been between him and Andrew, but there's no words recorded of this young man. You know, this young man's not saying anything in the text, but God is still using him. And what I want you to note tonight is that we don't have to promote ourselves. We don't have to put ourselves out there in order for God to use us. I mean, you may think, well, I'm just going to be overlooked, and I don't really matter, and I don't really count. But I want to tell you tonight, the one that is using all of us, and the one that it really counts with, he notices every single person in this building. Amen? There's no big eyes or little U's in the eyes of God. Every individual is important, and every individual has a part, and they have a place in the work of God. Amen? And so this boy is a silent boy. As a young person, he must have learned something. He learned that he had two ears and one mouth, and he was more willing to use his ears than what he was his mouth. You know, that's a good thing for all of us to live by. And so he was a silent boy in this text, but I would say he was a sweet boy. Amen. For this boy was willing to give his lunch to the Lord Jesus. He was more concerned about others than he was himself. That's what Christian living is all about, isn't it? Jesus said, or not Jesus, but Paul said this in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 3, said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Then he said this in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is what this boy is doing. He looks around, he doesn't have much, but he has more than anybody else has got. Amen? And so he's looking on the things of others. He is a sweet boy, but I would say he is a surrendered boy. Amen. For this young man does not give some. He's not remembered for giving most. He's not even remembered for giving much, but he gave all. And I want to preach on that a few minutes tonight, on give it all to him. Give it all to him. You realize this young man could have gave Jesus one, he could have gave him one piece of bread, he could have gave him one fish, he could have gave him one loaf and one fish, and the Lord could have done as much with one loaf and one fish as he did with five loaves and two fishes. Amen? In fact, if you go just a couple chapters over, he's going to perform this miracle again. Amen? And the number is not going to be the same. And Christ could have done it with one as much as he did with five, and as much as he did with two. He could have done it with one. He could have done it without any. He could have commanded the stones be made bread and fed the multitude. He could have sent manna down from heaven. What I'm saying to you tonight is that this young man, when he comes to the Lord Jesus, he could have just gave something and that would have been commendable. He could have gave most and we would have said that would have been a sacrifice, but he doesn't do that. What he does is he takes everything he's got and he gives it to the Lord. Amen? Is that not what God wants out of our life? He doesn't want us to give some. He doesn't want us to give most. He doesn't want us to give much, but he wants us to give all when it comes to giving to the Lord. We must give him all. And this passage of scripture proves through this young man and his five loaves and two fishes, it teaches us that God can use anyone. He can use anything at any time. That's what he does. He uses anyone. He uses a boy. He has the men, the Bible says, to sit down. The men are sitting, and there's this young boy here, and Jesus is going to take his five loaves and fish. He can use anyone. He can use anything. Who would have ever thought he would have fed 5,000 men besides the women and children with five loaves and two fishes? Now listen, that's not good math. If you're an accountant and if you're adding things up, that's not going to do it. Amen? And even one of the disciples said 200 penny worth is not enough. Amen? I'm telling you, but when it comes to Christ, he can use
anyone. He can also use anything, and he can use any time. The Bible talks about it, them being in a desert place. It doesn't matter where you're at. I want to tell you tonight, God's able to use you. Amen. It doesn't matter where you're at. God is able to take what you have, as small as it may be. I thought about this boy. He had the attitude when he come to Jesus, I may be small, but I'm just going to give him my all. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, if you and I will give God our all, he'll use us for his honor. He'll use us for his glory. Amen. When they walked away, there wasn't many talking about the lad, but everybody was talking about the Lord. Everybody was talking about the lunch. And isn't that what we want? We don't want people to remember us. We don't want people to focus on us. There's nothing good about us. But if they can remember the Lord, and if they can remember what God did through us, then God can get the glory, and that's what counts. Amen. People need to see Christ, don't they? And if we want the world to see Jesus in us, we must give our all to him. We must give our all in witnessing. We must give our all in worship. We must give our all in serving God. And that's what God is wanting. And this young man, he was used in this text because he was present. There is a lad here, amen, because he was there. He was used. You know, if you want God to use you, you got to show up, amen. You got to show up for church. You got to show up at that place that God wants you to witness, that door that God wants you to go to, that loved one that needs to be saved. You've got to be present. He was used because he was participating. And what I want you to notice this is that God did not use this young man because of what he had. He didn't have much. God used him because of what he gave. Amen. And that's the way it is in our life. You and I don't have anything to give God that's worth keeping. We don't have anything to offer God. But God's not going to use us based on what we have. Now, some people have talent and some people have skills. And there's a difference between talent and skills, and some people have different things that God has blessed them with, but none of those things matter in the eyes of God when it comes to using a person. He is not impressed by our talent. He is not impressed by our ability or our skills, for he gave us those things. Amen. So when it comes to God using us, it is not based on what we have. He doesn't use us because what we have, but he uses us based on what we're willing to give. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people have talent, but they won't give it to God. They'll give it to the country music world. Y'all still with me tonight? They'll give it to the rock world, the rock concert world. They'll give it to the contemporary world, but they won't give it to God. I tell you, if God blessed your hands to play an instrument, y'all never play one country tune in your entire lifetime. Can I get an amen? And if you have, y'all to ask God to forgive you and don't ever play another one. Can I get a witness on that? God gave you the ability to play music. You play it for the honor and the glory of God, and you vow to God, if it don't glorify God, you're not going to play it. Amen. And the same goes for a voice. If God gave you a voice, don't sing the world's songs. If you've been pulled out of the pit, you vow to God that you'll just sing songs that honors him and glorifies him. If he gave you the voice and he gave you the ability to sing, then you sing for the glory of God and don't sing for anything else. Amen. Because God uses people not based on what they have. In fact, he'll walk over a whole lot of talent to find somebody that will give their all. Some people have wondered and scratched their heads in life, well, why does God use that person and he won't use me? Well, how much are you giving God? Maybe they're investing more. I'm saying the Lord used him because he was participating. You got to get involved in the things of God. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. I mean, we can't just go to church and sit there and look at each other like wooden Indians. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, you got to get involved. You got to participate. I'm amazed sometimes. Maybe you'll be in a church service somewhere and somebody will say, man, it sure was dead. Well, maybe the service wasn't dead. Maybe you were dead. Amen. Maybe I was dead. I'm telling you, we ought to vow to God that when we come, we're going to worship his name. We're going to glorify his name. We're going to, you know, that's from the beginning of the service till the end too. It's not just a little part in that service. I mean, you're to sing with everything you got. Give God your all in singing. Amen. Give God your all when it comes to testifying. But don't lay down right there. I mean, when a preacher gets up to preach, give your all in preaching. And I'm to give my all in preaching. And we're to give our all in prayer. We're to give our all in Sunday school. We're to give our all in teaching. I mean, give God everything you got. Amen.
He'll bless you for it. And this boy was used because he was pleasing. The Bible said in verse 11 that Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, can you imagine being a boy standing there and hearing Jesus, God in the flesh, praying to the sovereign God of the universe and heaven, and thanking God for the bread that you gave him? You know, tonight, what we give God may not matter to anyone else, but if it matters to him, that ought to satisfy us tonight. For whatsoever you do, Colossians 3 and verse 23, for whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Amen? When it comes to serving God, I'm afraid too many people are wanting to quit because they're waiting for a pat on the back. They're waiting for somebody to come by and say, you did a good job. And while we may need encouragement from time to time, and I'm not against that, don't misunderstand me, but somewhere's along life's way, you got to figure out why you're doing what you're doing. I'm telling you, if nobody ever pats us on the back, if nobody ever says good job, we're not doing this to be recognized. We're doing this in honor of the King. We're doing this to please Him. Hallelujah. I wrote this down the other day, if I can find it right here. The Lord just put this on my heart that my life is not to be spent on my comfort, but for His cause. And I want to say there are times when we all don't feel like doing what we're supposed to be doing. Sometimes I don't feel like doing the things I'm doing. That doesn't mean I don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean I don't want to serve God. It doesn't mean I don't want to, you say, preacher, you love preaching? Sure I do. But can I be honest? There have been some times I didn't want to preach. I didn't feel like preaching. Well, why did you? I had to. Responsibility. When I found out if you just go ahead and give God what you're supposed to give Him, sometimes you start out, you don't feel like doing it, but God blesses you for it. Amen. And we have to, I think it has to be emphasized because we're living in a time when so many people just want to kick it neutral. They just want to, you know, well, I'm just going to do this much. Oh, no, when it comes to serving Jesus, listen, serving Jesus is above our job. It's above our pay. It's above any activities, any entertainment that we got going on in life. Listen, our schedule is to evolve around the Lord, amen, not the Lord around our schedule, amen. And if you're going to give God, you're all, you've got to somewhere along the way say, you know what? I'm not going to do this for recognition. I'm not going to do this so people don't have to know everything I'm doing. They don't have to see everything I'm doing. I don't have to have a pat on the back. I just want to do it for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to glorify God and please Him. Amen. You can pillow your head at night if your goal is just to please the Lord. This boy, I don't think he wanted to be recognized, and really the scriptures recognize him, but I don't read where Jesus brought him to the forefront. Maybe he did, but I don't read where Jesus even promoted this young man, but he sure blessed him, didn't he? I got a feeling that when those 12 baskets was taken, I don't know where all that food went, but I guarantee you that boy didn't go home empty-handed. He didn't give the Lord 5 loaves and 2 fishes and go home with less than what he gave God. Because nobody ever gives God their all and comes out on the short end of the stick. The army says give all. The sports entertainment world said give your all. But none of them can multiply anything in your life. But when we give our all to Him, when we give our all to Jesus, He's able to take what little we have, and oh, He can make much out of it. He can bless it. He can use it for His honor and glory. He can help others. Amen. Here's what amazes me about this young man, these three little things tonight. Number one, he gave in a desert time. He gave in a desert time. He was willing. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 9 and verse 10 that it was a desert place. Can you imagine they're out in a desert and people are hungry? This young boy is probably as hungry as anybody else.
You think about the conditions. You think about the environment. It was a hot place, but he was still willing to give what he had, even in a very dry area, very dry place. The desert is a hard place when you think about it. People don't like the desert. The desert's not a desirable place. It is a hard place. A lot of things cannot survive in the desert, and it's a very humble place when you think about it. As I said, not many things can survive in the desert. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this is a picture. It's a type. When this young man gave, it was a desert time. The conditions weren't the best. It was a dry season, if you will. It was a hard place. But yet he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to give all, even in a dry time. I would say to every young person here, you ought to thank God that he's brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. He's allowed you to be alive in 2025. I'm glad that God's let us be alive in 2025 and to serve in the local church in these days and be a light in a dark world, to be the salt of this earth in 2025. And while others may go a different route and others may fall out and others may even throw in the towel, I tell you, I want to do what we sung tonight. I want to finish well, don't you? I want to hear him say, well done, my child. I don't know if I hear him say that, but I want to do the best I can for the glory of God. Amen. I don't care how dry it gets in this world spiritually. I want to keep on giving God my all. My health may fail. This church may go belly up, but I want to keep on going, don't you? I want to give my all to the very end for the glory of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I have, but I'm telling you, I want to. I don't want to coast in my Christian life. I've seen people do that. Just kick it neutral. It's the fastest way to backslide. I'm not saying you got to do anything great or anything big. You just got to be faithful. Be faithful to that pew God put you in. Be faithful to tithe. Be faithful to come to church and worship God. Amen. Be faithful. We got to be faithful, whether it's a house full or a handful. And thank God he's blessed us here at the church. And I praise God for that. But hey, we know that we're living in dry times. But thank God it's not dry everywhere. Amen. I mean, it may be dry down the road. And it may be dry somewhere else. But I'm glad God still kicks the honey bucket over and lets it pour down in this place. And we feel the breeze of heaven. And we feel the presence of God. I'm glad we still come in on a Wednesday night and God still passes by, and thank God we still feel the breeze of heaven. It's still real. Amen. I'm glad we're still in a place where people are not afraid to shout and say amen and raise their hand and worship God. But we got to keep on giving. We cannot sit down on God. We must give our all, even in a desert time. You say, preacher, are people compromising? Sure, but not everybody. You say, there are people that don't like old-time religion? Sure, there always has been, but not everybody. There's still a crowd that wants old-time religion. Is there people that's left the King James Bible? Oh, yes, but there's a lot of people still sticking with the King James Bible. Is there a crowd that don't like camp meeting? Oh, sure, but there's still a crowd that does like camp meeting. It's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. You and I just got to make sure we're on the right side of these things. Amen? Is there people dropping their convictions? Sure, there is. But there's a lot of them, my friend, that's never backed up one bit. They've never given one inch. I'm telling you, I want to be on the right side. Even in these desert times, hallelujah, I still want to stick with the old stuff. I want to stay in the right way. I will thank God by his grace. Don't you tonight want to just give your all in a desert time? I don't know how long God let me live. But I'll tell you, if he lets me live to be an old man, I'd like to be like one preacher friend of mine. His granddaddy, when he got dementia, they took him out of the pulpit and took him to the nursing home. He was wheelchair bound. He rolled up there in the cafeteria of the nursing home, and with a big deep voice he made the announcement, is there a preacher in the house? And they just looked at him like some of y'all are looking at me right now. They didn't have a clue. He asked it one more time, is there a preacher in the house? And nobody said nothing. They just stared at him. He said, well, I'm y'all's new pastor. He lived several more years in that nursing home, and he'd wheel up and down the hallways and visit all the members, amen. And he preached and held Bible study. They'd pulled him out of one pulpit and just took him into another, amen. And that's what he did. He pastored that nursing home until he got a bed bound, and then and people come by and ask him to pray for them, and he'd pray for them while he was in the bed. And that's how he went out. I heard that, and I said, man, I told that preacher friend of mine, I said, that's exactly the way, by the grace of God. I don't know if it'll happen that way, but that's how I'd like to go out, amen. Don't you want to go out with a fire still burning in your soul? Don't you want to go out still giving God what you got left? Oh, you may not have as much in your 80s and 90s, but whatever we got, Lord, I want to give it all to you. Hallelujah. In a desert time. You know, I didn't feel like preaching when I started, but I feel like it now. Amen. He gave in a desert time, and then secondly, he gave in a difficult time. He didn't have much, but he had more than anyone else. And if he didn't give, he probably knew nobody else would. I want to tell you something tonight. Doesn't matter our age, young, middle-aged, or elder, it doesn't matter. We have to all take the responsibility tonight that if we don't give, who is going to give? I've used the example before, but I remember coming to church and being tired and wore out and not feel like saying amen to the preaching. But I always felt a responsibility. Well, if I just sat there, who is going to say amen? And I don't know. This is just me. I'm not beating up on people. I don't know how people can go service after service after service after service, never say amen to anything, never raise your hand. You don't have to act like me, and I don't have to act. You don't have to act like Brother Laddie, but we got to participate. Amen. Young people, you don't have to act like nobody else, but how God made you. I don't think it's right to pressure people, but you got to get involved, and you are involved, and thank God you're involved. I appreciate our young people singing on Wednesday nights and the youth choir and special songs and standing up and testifying. Just keep it going. Amen. Just keep it going. I say, you know, you say, why? Preacher, if I testify, sometimes I don't say the right thing. Well, I preach and sometimes I don't say the right things. You say, what do? Well, you learn from it and say, I'm going to go at it again. Y'all with me tonight? I mean, we have to give. Thank God for visitation. You know, all these years, visitation, we got to keep visitation going, don't we? And I appreciate you showing up. The other day, I was thinking about that going down the road. I thought, man, it looked so bad that Saturday a week ago. I thought, man, I don't know if there'll be five people. Have you ever thought that? Oh, how many times down through the years I think nobody's going to show up and there'll be a crowd there. Thank God people still come. And I know some people have to work on Saturdays and things like that, but somebody give the gospel out. Somebody's telling about giving out tracts today and said, I put these in a place. If they get mad, I said, you know what? If they get mad, they get mad. It's got the church phone number on it. They'll call Brother Sam. He'll have to deal with it. Amen. But we got to keep giving out the gospel, don't we? You lamplighters, you keep getting those tracts. Give them out. Give. Oh, it's difficult days, but I'll tell you something. God still works in difficult places. And then he gave in a doubtful time. Look what Andrew says, a poor boy. Verse 9, he's just a lad. There is a lad here which have five barley loaves and two small fishes. And I don't know if that boy was standing that close, but here's what he says. But what are they amongst so many? I mean, here's a boy with a lunch. He's ready to give it to God. And here's this great soul winner, Andrew. You know, he brought Peter to the Lord. He brought this lad to the Lord. And you read on a few chapters, he brought those Greeks to the Lord. He's always bringing people to Jesus. And I can see that boy standing there next to that great disciple, you know. And he's going to, Lord, there's a lad here. He's got five loaves and two fishes. But what are they amongst so many? That'd make you want to go home, wouldn't it? He can't do nothing. He ain't got nothing, Lord. Five loaves and two fishes. How are we going to feed this crowd? But you know something? He didn't doubt the Lord. That little boy didn't doubt God. And God didn't doubt that little boy. And you know tonight, if you and I will give God what we have, if we'll give all and believe God, God believes us tonight. If you tell God, I'm going to give you everything I got, God will take you at your word.
And you take God at His word. And I thought about that question, great question in verse 9. What are they among so many? Well, they're given, aren't they? Verse 9, Jesus took the loaves. That's what they are among so many. They were given. They're growing in verse 9. He distributed to His disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. What are they among so many? Well, they're given, they're growing, and then they were gathered. Amen. In verse 12, the Bible said they gathered up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. I thought about, He said, what are they among so many? And boy, gave, and what He gave, the Lord grew what He gave, and there was more left over than what He gave. I'm going to tell you, if you'll give God your life, and if you'll give God your all, here's what you're going to find out when you get to the end of life's road. You're going to find out there's more left over than what you gave. That God blessed you and God gave back to you far more than you ever gave to Him. Hallelujah. The happiest people I've ever met in church were people that have totally surrendered to the Lord. That does not mean that you live a perfect life. It does not mean that you don't fail God and come up short day in and day out. But what it means is that you have just totally surrendered and said, Lord, here's my life, and I give it to You. Use it for Your glory. You know, I don't think we have to figure out some great big thing to do for God. If God's blessed you with a good job and He's given you a good family, and you're a dad and you're a husband, then you be a Christian dad and a Christian husband. You work hard. You pay tithes. You give missions. You bring your family to the house of God. You give your all in that. And God will bless you for that. Is that right tonight? You don't have to be looking for something big in the eyes of others. Be faithful where God puts you. Young person tonight, you don't have to figure out. You just be faithful where God puts you. You give. David gave as much on the backside of those prairies out there given to those sheep as he did when he's sitting on the throne. And God knew that all along about David. And the reason David became a king was because David was given to those sheep as much as he was given on the battlefield or as he was given in the palace. You see, God is not measuring tonight who we are based on what we have, but based on what we give. And all you have to do is say, Lord, this is who I am, this is what I have, and it's Yours. That's total surrender tonight. God, I'll just be what You want me to be. You know, maybe God wants you to be a missionary. I don't know that. Maybe He does. Or maybe God just wants you to, maybe He just wants you to sit right there next to your daddy. Get married. Raise a godly family just like your daddy's doing. And be faithful to this church. I'll tell you what, that wouldn't be a loss, would it? Wouldn't you agree tonight we need some folks like that? Here's one generation. Boy, don't we thank God for Brother Daniel? Miss April. Here's one generation. But I think it speaks well. Well, here's another generation. And here's a generation. But what are we going to do if we don't have somebody else? Somebody's got to take that seat. You young people tonight, I preach to you all the time because I like preaching to y'all. Y'all just look so, you look so enthused right now. But I baptized you, probably wore out, amen, after being put under that water. I like preaching to y'all because I like picking on all of you, you know. But you know, some of y'all are going to, who knows where life's going to take you. You're going to be missionaries, preachers' wives, maybe preachers, I don't know. But somebody's got to stay here. Somebody's got to do this, don't they? And none of that stuff do we know. I don't know any of that about your life. I wouldn't dare try to tell you, well, this is what God wants you to do, or this is what. I could tell you what God don't want you to do. Amen. But I can't tell you what God wants you to do. What I mean by that is if you come wanting to go sin, I could tell you, well, God don't want you to do that. I don't know what God wants you to do. But you don't have to figure that out. All you got to do is say, Lord, I give my all. And I think You'll give Your all. Keep, you go to Sunday school faithfully. You sing in the choir. You know, I appreciate that there is young people that want to sit up front. They want to sing in the choir. Somebody's got to carry it on, don't they? I appreciate the Lord bringing you here and letting you stay here. Somebody's got to stay here. Amen. Everybody can't leave. Can I get an amen right there? At least we don't want you to.
That's right.
And I don't know what God's got for your life. You got a whole row of sinners right there with you. You're doing pretty good right there. I'm just kidding. It's good to have these folks from Concord, isn't it? But tonight, what it boils down to, you want God to use you, give all. Give all to God. And whatever God's will is for your life, He'll fill in the blanks. Let's stand tonight. This little boy, I don't know what happened to him, but he's remembered. Not because he gave some, not because he gave much, but because he gave all. That's what I want the Lord to remember tonight. That's the greatest compliment Jesus could ever say about any of us, is that you know what? He gave all.